Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ study session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is Season 6, Episode 5 for the Daily Study Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us once again today. You'll hear that my voice is slightly better than it was yesterday. It is easier for me to speak, but I'm still not feeling 100%, so we'll see how we get on with today. But I did want to keep this consistency going. It's something I want to do. And so we'll see how it gets on. But Mosiah 14, that's where we were yesterday, with Abinadi sharing some words from Isaiah. Some words which are important for us as Christians, really, to learn more about the Saviour and how he was prophesied and what he was prophesied to do before his coming. And these are such tender verses. Verse 4, for example, "Surely he hath borne our sorrows and borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Just underlined, really, the power and the impact that the Saviour will have on all of us, and he does have on all of us because of the atonement which he took upon himself. Donald W. Parry, J.A. Parry and Tina M. Peterson said, quote, "Wounded is better translated as pierced fatally. Bruised is more correctly translated as crushed. The servant suffered these pains because of what we had done." President Edward F. Benson wrote, "All men, he suffered the pains of all men. He suffered as only God could suffer, bearing our griefs, carrying our sorrows, being wounded for our transgressions, voluntarily submitting himself to the iniquity of us all, just as Isaiah promised. It was in Gethsemane that Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world, in Gethsemane that his pain was equivalent to the cumulative burden of all men, in Gethsemane that he descended below all things, so that all could come repent and come unto him. The mortal mind fails to fathom, the tongue cannot express, the pen of man cannot describe the depth, the breadth, depth, the height of suffering of our Lord, nor his infinite love for us. Chastisement of our peace was upon him." This passage might read, "He suffered the chastisement that brings us peace. The suffering of his atonement, which Christ bore, brings us peace as we partake of the blessings of that atonement." Close quote. Quite a lengthy quote, but I wanted to share all of it because it just kind of puts into words so eloquently what I'm trying to say in my unwell state, that we cannot express just how important and powerful the atonement is, and was, and will be forever. It is because of that that this plan works. Without that, this plan would fail. We would sin. We would make mistakes, and we would be forever cut off. And even the resurrection of the dead would not happen. So, it's a powerful thing to reflect on. My voice is going a bit dodgy now, but we'll see how we get on. I'm going to move now to Mosiah 15, just because we've got a couple more days after this, and we've still got quite a bit more to go, including the belief of Alma and the death of Abinadi. So we'll go into chapter 15, which again is Abinadi speaking unto them and talking about how God coming down is this focus that he's making, and how God coming down would be the opportunity for this to happen. Now, Abinadi talks about the Father and the Son in this chapter, and I think it's worth pointing out here the introduction at the start of the chapter, the chapter heading, which, don't forget, wasn't always in the Book of Mormon. I believe it was added in the edition that came out in the 70s. But it says, "How Christ is both Father, the Father and the Son." So this can be quite confusing for particularly friends of the church who are learning about the church and learning how we believe in the Godhead, how the Father is one distinct individual, the Son, Jesus Christ, and how the Holy Ghost are all separate in distinct beings. But, of course, a chapter like this then confuses that. And I remember a couple of times my mission having to teach and explain this. Fortunately, the chapter heading is there. And then what we need to do here is replace Father, I suppose, in our minds with the Saviour as his role as the Father of the Covenant, as the divine being who created the earth under the direction of God the Father, as the individual who... The Saviour is made up, of course, of two parts. He was born as a mortal man, as a mother, as the son of Mary, but also the son of the divine, only begotten Son of God. And he made this all possible. He made the covenants we make possible. He made the atonement make us being able to repent and come unto Christ possible, and eventually our eternal salvation possible. And so he is the Father of our salvation. He is the Father or author of the way in which the gospel, in which we come back to the presence of God the Father after we die. And it's in that sense that he is the Father, Father of the Covenant. Without the Saviour, there would be no covenant. We could be baptized, we could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, we could live our covenants that we make at baptism and in the temple and all these things. But without the Saviour, the covenant would not be even there or even a possibility or even a need, because there would be no way in which to return back to the Father. So it's in that way that Christ is named as the Father. And then we give him that name. It is confusing, but I think if we think of it in that way, it helps. Abinadi says in verse 2, for example, "And because he dwelleth in the flesh, he shall be called the Son of God. Having subjected the flesh to the will of the Father, being the Father and the Son." Linking this with a couple of verses. Firstly, well, Ether 3:14 gives a bit of explanation, although, again, it's still quite ambiguous. He says, this is when the Saviour appears to the son of Jared, of course, in his spirit form, before he comes to the earth. "Behold, I am he who was prepared from the foundation of the world to redeem my people. Behold, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Father and the Son. In me shall all mankind have life, and that eternally, even they who shall believe on my name, and they shall become my sons and my daughters." And it's that last bit that's important, that all those that believe on him shall become his sons and daughters. Now, if we're referring to God the Father, we are all his sons and daughters, even if we don't believe on the Saviour. Every human being, every soul who passes through this earth, even for a split second, is a son or daughter of our Heavenly Father. Here, the Saviour is referring to children of the covenant, those who come and believe on him, make those promises, become his children, and they take upon himself his name, just like those who are born into a family tend to take on a family name of that family. I think that's a good way of thinking about it. We also have Mosiah chapter 5, verse 7, where King Benjamin says, "And now, because of the covenants which you have made, you shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters, for behold, this day he hath spiritually begotten you." And so it's that helps us to understand this father-like relationship we have with the Saviour. And then also Alma 11:39, which we'll come to later, Amulek is teaching in Esau, and he says, "And Amulek said unto him, Yea, he is the very eternal Father of heaven and of earth, and of all things which in them are. He is the beginning and the end." So Amulek focuses on the divinity of the Saviour, and how he is the Father of all things that will be created. Of course, our souls are the only things he is not, the actual Father of our spirits. But in terms of the earth that was created, and the heavens, and everything that was made and put in place so that we could be here today, the Saviour is the creator of those things. I'm going to stop there because, well, we're running out of time for our 10-minute section. But thank you so much for joining us today, and please do join us tomorrow as we continue our study this week. Until we meet again.